Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have a great guest. Her name is Tanya. So, Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Nancy. It's a pleasure to be sharing this time with you and your listeners.
That's good. I'm sure they're all expecting a great show, and we're going to give them a great show. So, Tanya, can you talk a little bit about who Tanya is and how you got started, and then we'll go in and ask more questions.
Sure. Well, I've been pretty much told by everyone that's ever met me that they've never met anyone like me before. That's including, you know, friends, family, coworkers, bosses, teachers. I started off with a very difficult childhood, and I was quite a handful as a teenager. By the time I was 14, I was into using heavy drugs, drinking alcohol, and used to steal my mom's car in the middle of the night to go for joyrides. I've always thought that I've had a sixth sense, but I did not know how to control it, and spirits and other things had made themselves known to me since I was a child. In fact, I used to be terrified of the dark and terrified to go to sleep, and it wasn't until I was about 37 years old that I actually stopped using a nightlight. In 2001, I decided to take a year off, sold everything I owned. I quit my job, a government job of 8 years, and I put a backpack on my back and traveled solo in Southeast Asia for a year. My intentions for that trip was to, you know, find myself and get off the drugs and booze. And although I did learn a lot during that trip, I ended up addicted to smoking heroin. And I'm very lucky that I did not end up in a Malaysian prison, but that is a whole other story. Basically, I was just, you know, really tough on the outside, but deep down I just wanted love, guidance, and acceptance like everyone else. So that kind of brings me to, when I came back to Canada after my trip, I had more culture shock coming in back to my own country than I did going somewhere on the other side of the world. And I lived in the city at that point, and it was too much. I went from, you know, living out of a backpack and living in shacks for a year to back to the city, and it wasn't resonating with me, so I moved to a small little town in southwest British Columbia and started getting into 4x4ing and dirt bike riding. That's what most of my time, my weekends and my off time when I wasn't working was spent out in the mountains. And it was in June of 2007 that I was on my dirt bike, and I was with a friend. She has it all on video, and I decided I was going to try and do a wheelie. Now, I've never really done a wheelie before and wasn't quite sure what to do, but I was going to try it anyways. And I did get the front tire off the ground. In fact, I shot it straight up in the air and crashed down afterwards, and that's the start of... that day was starting my life of hell, but in fact, it was the quite opposite. It just took me a little while to figure it out.
Kenny, do you think a lot of people are right now doing a lot of searching, really trying to figure out who they are? I mean, not because they necessarily had a traumatic experience, but just because there's so much unknowingness going on and so much fear and so much worry. Do you think people are having kind of a hard time, you know, looking inside, figuring out who they really are?
I think so. Like, I believe that there definitely is something going on out there because, I mean, I've gone from this life of, you know, party girl, adrenaline junkie, to completely waking up a different person, like, through this, you know, there's more to the story that... The life that I've lived in the last couple of years, I didn't even know existed, and I wasn't looking for it. Like, I've been on this, like, you know, breadcrumb trail of trying to put the pieces together, figuring out what the heck is going on out there.
Yeah,
it was, you know, that accident. My leg was stuck, and I tried telling the doctors that, you know, my leg is stuck. It, I can't straighten it. I can't bend it. I couldn't lift it a millimeter for 6 weeks. You know, I was literally in bed, and I depended on, you know, my friends and family to take care of everything. I couldn't move out of bed, and this went on for quite some time. It was 4 months after the accident, I went for surgery, and my surgeon said that I'd be walking in 2 to 3 weeks, yet when I was under the anesthetics, he could not straighten or bend my leg. And so, you know, 9 months after my accident, I was finally prescribed morphine, Toradol, and a muscle relaxer for the pain, but it didn't do anything to alleviate it. And so I was just in this whirlwind of pain and not being able to take care of myself, not being able to get my own groceries, not being able to get milk without a wheelchair. You know, 13 months afterwards, the doctors still don't know how to fix me. I'm still, like, I couldn't touch my knee with a feather without screaming. And I found myself in such a state that, you know, I no longer wanted to go on. Each day I found myself more empty and shattered than the prior day. There was nothing left in me but the shell of a body. I didn't know how I was going to get through the pain and more surgeries when all I wanted to do was die. I was completely falling apart. Every ugly trauma that I'd ever lived in my entire life was starting to resurface. I went to bed crying. I woke up crying. You know, every night I was rocking myself back and forth, pleading and crying for help, only I didn't know who I was asking because there's no one here but me. And I never believed in God. You know, I thought there couldn't be a God if, you know, I lived this life of torment and torture. There couldn't possibly be a God. And then, you know, I just knew I needed to go somewhere. I had the money because I was planning another year-long backpacking trip around the world.
Right,
but my leg is
my interview, I'm doing my interview right now.
My first idea was actually to go on an African safari. And then I thought, who am I kidding? Like, I'm pretty sure Africa was not wheelchair-friendly. And then my next idea was to hire a helicopter to drop me off at the top of a mountain for a week by myself. And then I quickly remembered how terrified of the dark that I am. And all I knew is that I needed help. I didn't know where to get it. I didn't want to die, but I felt like it was my only choice. And before I knew it, there was this link on my computer to a place in Sedona, Arizona, which I'd never even heard of, this place they call Sedona, and it was some sort of spiritual retreat. And I didn't, you know, I didn't really know anything spiritual, but I had this deep urge to click on the link. So I phoned the retreat center, and I booked a retreat, and they usually suggest 3 or 4 days, and I told them to double that because I was extra screwed up and I really needed it. When I hung up the phone, my shoulders released, a mile wide began to grow across my face, and the tears just began to pour. And those weren't tears of sadness. Those were tears of joy. Like, somehow I just knew that I was going to make it, that the Sedona thing was going to work. And it was at that point, you know, I could no longer cry for sadness because there was nothing left in me. My spirit was dead. My soul was lost. And when those words came out of my mouth, I had no clue where they even came from because those aren't my words. I didn't even, you know, I didn't know that I'd had a soul until it left, and then it came back. And I mean, I'm sure there's many people out there that have no clue that they even have a soul. They're just, you know, I feel that humanity, they're almost like just so robotic. They're stuck in these little boxes, and they don't see outside of it.
A lot of people right now are really like that. But I think they're mostly stuck, Tanya, because of the fear that they're in.
Yes.
And they've listened to the media, which only makes things a lot worse, instead of, you know, getting out of, and I call it their little pity party box,
yes,
you know, and do something. And when you talk with people and you try to explain to them that there's a whole other world out there, they look at you like you're absolutely crazy, because why would,
yes,
I want to get out of this safe place, no, although I'm in such pain and such agony and such loneliness, you know, but at least I know that. So a lot of people will stay in that little pity party box rather than even take a foot and step out.
It's all we know. It's what we've been programmed since birth, right?
That's what they keep trying to do, but it's time that people don't do that anymore.
Exactly.
Now, you know, I mean, because you went through a very traumatic experience in order to wake up, and unfortunately,
yes, I did.
You know, unfortunately, for a lot of people, that's usually the case, but not all of them come out as good as you've come out because they basically give up, or they do, you know, what your mind had thought about doing, and that's like just ending your life because God only knows why, you know, why you want to live like you are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But at least you did something, and that, you know, that in itself is pretty credible because, again, people today are just, they're not quite doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
You know, so... During the course of your changing, after you went to Sedona, because you said you booked yourself there,
yes.
Once you were in Sedona, what happened to you there?
Well, when I first arrived, and I never really realized it at the time, but it was actually September 11th, the day that I arrived in Sedona. And within my first day, I went to the head office to meet them, and they were going to explain to how the program worked. It wasn't a group setting; it was a one-on-one. So I had appointments with practitioners, some of the best in Sedona, you know, 2-3 a day. And within 10 minutes at the head office, I broke down crying, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, and I told them, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing here, how I got here. I don't know what this, like, I didn't even know this place existed. I felt like a lost 5-year-old little girl, and they assured me that I was right where I was supposed to be. And it seemed like, when I look back, it seemed like I didn't do a whole lot there, really. Like, I met with an intuitive psychic, I met with a shamanic astrologer, I did some core healing. I had three massages. I did a breath and sound session, which is a form of breathing while listening to a certain type of music. And that session, I still do not have the words to describe what happened during that session. Like, the practitioner told me some of the things that could happen, and I have to admit, I'm thinking, okay, lady, you know, I've had a lot of experience with, you know, spirits and other things that go bump in the night, but she was telling me all kinds of strange things I've never even heard of, so I pretty much thought she was a little loopy until I, you know, had the session. And I mean, something happened during that session that it's just, I don't have the words to even describe. And it was after that session, I was like, wow, there really is, you know, a whole other world out there. And I'm like, if I start talking about this stuff, people are going to think I'm a nutcase. And just from what I experienced in that session alone, I was just like, whoa, I better be careful and be careful, you know, who I talk to about this kind of stuff, because I'm going to end up in a mental institute.
Mm-hmm.
And I also found, while I was in Sedona, I was drawn to crystals. Like, I've never really knew about crystals. And when I was there, I was trying to buy, like, you know, one of everything or as much as I could without going over what they allow us to bring back into my own country. And I didn't understand it, but I just kind of went with it. I just started buying, you know, a whole lot of crystals. And it was by the time I left Sedona, I no longer felt suicidal, and I found the strength I needed to move forward. So when my sister, she never told me this at the time, but when she picked me up at the airport, she phoned her mom ahead of time to let her know that they did something to me there, because whoever she had picked up was not me. Like, I didn't realize that there was that much of a shift at that point, but my sister did. She noticed right away that there's, like, she had no idea who that person was in the van. And as I live a couple hours away from the airport and it was late, I stayed the night at my sister's and I went home the following day. When I went home to start to unpack, the first thing that came to mind was, what do I do with this bottle of whiskey that I just bought? And I'm just like, what? And usually, like, I was very excited about, I had a very big collection of booze, and I looked at the cupboard and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this stuff? And I was just like, whoa, what's going on here? I mean, suddenly I had no desire to drink alcohol, and it's been a part of my life for 22 years. And it was just like overnight. And I went to bed in my own bed when I got home. And when I woke up, the person who woke up was not me. It was so profound. It was as though someone had removed the old me and replaced me with something else. I mean, I felt bliss like never before. I didn't know what was going on, but it just felt so good, so I just floated with it. I didn't question it. I knew not to speak to anyone about it, but I didn't really know what was going on. All I know is that, you know, every little bit of trauma, every little bit of pain I had ever lived in my entire life was just pulled out of me like magic. Like, I was just like, wow, my house could be on fire, and I would be sitting there with a smile thinking, that's okay. Everything happens for a reason. Like, I mean, I just, whatever it was that I was feeling, I didn't even know existed. It was something had started to guide me, and I didn't know what or who it was, but it almost felt like I was Noah, only I didn't know where that came from, because I don't even know the meaning of that story, you know. All I knew about that story was there was this man that had a boat with two of every animal on it, and that's about as far as I ever knew about that. My OCD that I had completely diminished, and just, you know, I was just being guided to buy certain things and do certain things. And when, I guess it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting in, you know, sitting in the kitchen, and all of a sudden I hear this voice in my head, and it's telling me to go to the window. And I'm just like, what the heck is that? Like, it doesn't seem like it's a voice outside of me that other people could hear it, but there was definitely a voice that kept on telling me, go to the window, go to the window. So I went over to the window, and what I saw was these amazing stars. Like, I mean, I've never in my life seen stars that looked like that, and they were so surreal that I thought, can anybody else see what I see? Like, they were just, like, magnificent. I mean, I'm in town. Like, I mean, it is a small town, and there's not a whole lot of lighting, but I've never seen anything like that before, and I found myself mesmerized by these stars. Like, I was staring at them for a good half an hour, and it's like, I felt as though they were trying to tell me something, only I didn't know what it was. It was like they were very much trying to communicate with me, but I wasn't getting the language. And then I started thinking, okay, what the heck is going on here? I mean, stars are calling me to my window and trying to talk to me. Like, this stuff doesn't happen. This is kind of strange stuff. It was a week after that. It was daytime this time. It's, you know, 5 o'clock in the evening, bright blue sky, not a cloud in sight. And again, I got called to my window, that same voice. And I thought, oh, I know what they showed me last time. I'm going to go have a look. I didn't hesitate that time. So I go to my window, and I look out the window, and there's this big ball of light going across the sky, and I'm just like, what is that? And there's all these, like, sparklies coming from it, and it was just, I was just mesmerized by all these, like, little sparks kind of, like, coming from this light, like, towards me. And I turned my sight for a second to look at some of the little sparklies, and then the ball of light was just gone, and I'm just like, what was that? And then all of a sudden, I remembered that voice, and not from the week prior, but it was the same voice that I had heard when I was 11 years old that actually saved my sister from being burnt by a campfire. I was 11, and she was 3, and I had my friends, you know, spending the night. We were actually tenting it in the backyard, and we built a little fire, and we were running around the yard and, you know, playing tag, and I heard this voice that said, go to your sister. She's going to fall in the fire. And I never hesitated. I just started running towards the fire, and as I was approaching the fire, she actually did fall in, but I was right there to grab her by the back of the shirt and pull her out. And I'm thinking, wow, like, if I never listened to that voice, she could have got severely burnt. She was only 3 years old, and I never did tell my mom or my friend about that voice, but I did listen to it, and but never, ever, ever brought that up with anybody, well, up until just recently. And, you know, as blissful as I was, something very strange was happening. It was a good strange, but it was just like, okay, this is not normal stuff that's been happening in my life. And I started questioning, like, you know, what the heck is going on? Like, I went on to Google, and I'm like, what do I put in there? Went to bed, one person woke up another. I'm like, okay, that's not going to bring up anything. And then I started thinking, I was always attracted to angels throughout my life. Even though I was, you know, a party girl, I was very much attracted to angels and had a lot of angel figurines and collected them. And I started thinking, like, you know, am I some kind of human angel? I've never heard of such a thing. But so I Googled and felt very strange while doing this, human angel. And I thought that I was going to get a message coming back, like, no, silly, there's no such thing. Like, but what I was, you know, what came back was like a wealth of information. I was just like, whoa, we mean that there's like such thing as this? And then I started doing a little research and, you know, I started finding about these earth angels and walk-ins and star seeds. And then I'm like, I've never even heard of such a thing. And there was a wealth of information. And as I was doing my research, I thought, oh my goodness, I think I'm a walk-in, because, like, I'm not kidding. When I went to bed and woke up the next day, like, I was like, you know, literally, like, that was not me that woke up. And then I became, like, as great and as blissful as I felt, I became very frightened, because I'm like, okay, if I'm a walk-in, where is my old self? Like, is she just hiding or lost in the dark somewhere? And, you know, it was about a month after coming home from Sedona, and then I really started freaking out. Like, I actually looked under my bed. I looked in my closets. I'm looking in the mirror, and it's just like I'm, you know, patting my face, and it's like, okay, that's your skin, but that is not you inside. And so I phoned one of the practitioners in Sedona, and I'm like, okay, there's something going on here. There's something very bizarre going on here. It's a very good bizarre, but I'm not who I used to be, and I can't find my old self. Like, she's gone, and it's, you know, kind of freaking me out. I think I'm a walk-in. And then at that point she told me that she could channel my guides, and I'm like, well, what does that mean? I don't understand. And she's like, well, they can talk through me. Spirit can talk through me, and I've never even heard of such a thing. But I trusted her, and so I made an appointment to, you know, channel my guides, and it was during that channeling that my entire life and pretty much every incident that I've ever lived made sense. And what I found out during that session was, I thought, there's no way I could share any of this with anyone, because now if they didn't think I was crazy, now they're really going to think if I start telling people this. And one of the biggest things I learned, that I was not a walk-in, but what had happened was, I guess the way the channeler explained to me is, what happened to me overnight and instantaneously took her 7 years of hard work with residuals left over. Basically, my other dimensional self, my other world self, just came in and swooped in and just took up residence. And I had learned that I do not originate from Earth. I originate from Orion. And that makes, when I hear those words, it makes so much sense to me of why my entire life I've just felt like, who am I and what am I doing in this strange place? It just doesn't feel right. And I never knew what the constellation Orion looked like. So after that session, I Googled Orion and just about crapped my pants, because the stars that were on my computer were the stars that called me to the window a couple of weeks prior to that. And I was just like, wow. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been this puzzle of, you know, trying to put pieces together, and just very strange phenomena happening around me, synchronicities, like, you know, like it's going out of style. And I've been seeing double and triple numbers. It all started with 11-11, and then, you know, slowly I start seeing 10-10, 12-12, 4-4-4, 3-3-3, 2-2-2, 1-1-1, 9-11. I mean, I've removed all the clocks from my home, and I still see those numbers everywhere I go. And my friends are like, you're just looking for them. And I'm like, no, I'm not looking for them. That's just it. It's when things start, you know, showing up in your space, you notice it. And it's just everything that's been going on, I've never knew about this kind of stuff. It's happening to me, and I'm having to go and research it after it happens to kind of learn, like, what's going on here.
You know, I think it's real important, Tanya, that you're talking about, because there are many people out there who experience different things and really
yes.
think that they're losing their mind or they're absolutely
yes.
nuts, and how, you know, how can they talk to anybody? But, you know, it's always helpful to know that there is somebody there that they can talk to. So please give out your website, the name of your book, and how they can get your book.
The name of my website is www.mysticalpuzzle.com. Mystical Puzzle is all one word, and they can. There's a contact form, and they can also purchase my book through the website. And when I first started, you know, writing this book, I was actually going to write it under a pen name because I'm like, I can't admit to this kind of stuff. Like, they're really, like, and believe me, mental health has been to my house. And they kindly told me after interviewing me that it was clear to them that I wasn't a psychotic or a schizophrenic. But it was my best friends that actually called mental health on me. And, well, we're not friends anymore because my changes just, it become too much for them, which is, I completely understand them because my own old self would have thought my new self had lost it. It's only because of my experiences that I believe what I believe. I don't expect anybody else to believe what I believe. I expect everybody to always go within whenever they're learning anything from anybody, whether it's, you know, through a book or through conversation, whether it's from a child, from, you know, someone that's, you know, has a lot of wisdom, that always to go within and just take what feels right for, you know, yourself. And I decided not to go write the book with a pen name because I'm like, then I'm just running away and I'm going to be afraid and it's all fear. And I'm like, no, somebody has to stand up and say, this stuff is going on. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are probably just as scared as, you know, I was. And it took me 2 years before I'd even tell my own mom and sister that this, you know, this is, you know, this is why I'm so different. And they've accepted me, which is nice because not a lot of, from what I've gathered, not a lot of people get that. But I do know that there is a lot going out there, and it's people like me, people like you, and your other guests that need to continue to speak out and to show other people that, you know, you're not alone. Those crazy, strange things that you experience, you know, other people are experiencing too. They are real, and it's time that we start talking about them and you know, learning with them. I've learned through all this ordeal that I'm able to channel healing, and the doctors had completely given up on me and did not know how to fix me. And it was with the help of spirit and crystals and my mind and channeling spiritual energy that as of April of this year, almost 3 years after my accident, I no longer use a wheelchair, I no longer use a walker, and I no longer use a cane. And if I needed to do a 20-kilometer walk, I could. And prior to that, I couldn't pick up milk without a wheelchair. So, and that's another thing, you know, doctors telling me that, you know, basically you're hooped, you're going to be crippled and in pain all your life. And had I believed that, maybe that would have been, but it's like, no, I am not. And that's what drove me to learn about different healing modalities. And I found, you know, I learned why I was buying all those crystals in Sedona, because now I use them not only to heal myself, but I'm just starting to heal others with them as well.
Now, you're also enrolled at the University of Metaphysical Science for your bachelor's, master's, and doctorate.
Yes. I have actually 5 electives left to finish my bachelor's, so I will be finished that by the end of this year. And then next year, I'm going to jump right into the master's. And, it, you know, if I'd only known that that kind of information existed before, I'm like, wow, that could have saved a lot of trouble. But then I think, no, everything happens when it's supposed to happen. And maybe I wasn't ready to be opened up beforehand. Because I've always felt that I have some sort of psychic gifts, but I just don't know how to, I'm learning how to use them. Like, things kind of pop to me. I can't go to it quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, they just come to me. So I'm learning how to work with that kind of energy.
See, what's real important, Tanya, is for everybody to understand that they all have psychic ability. Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody that walks the face of this earth has it. But it's whether they trust it, follow it,
yes.
and want to learn more about it. And what's really cool is the more they trust it, learn about it, and follow through with it, the easier their life becomes. Haven't you found
Absolutely.
That to be true?
Yes. I believe that everybody is gifted, and again, it's because we've been programmed at birth to think differently. And, you know, a part of my life mission, I think, is to not only learn about this stuff to help myself, but to help others out there and to teach them, like, you know, I'm eventually going to open up my own healing practice, but I don't want people just to come to me to get healed. I want to teach them that they can do this themselves, that they don't really necessarily need me. They've already got the tools within them. They just need to be maybe taught and guided to how to do that. We're all gifted. We all can heal ourselves. We are all so much bigger than we even know. And I'm just learning that about myself. Like, I'm just like, you know, when I look back at my life, I'm like, wow, like, I'm much stronger than I've ever given myself credit for. Like, I've been beaten to the pulp several times, and I keep coming back. And, you know, I used to always think I was a cat with nine lives, but it's like I soon learned, no, I'm not a cat with nine lives. I've got, you know, a team of angels and ETs and higher beings that have been taking care of me all my life. I didn't know that. I do know that now. Looking back, I can see it all, and it's like, wow, like, they really have been a part of my life all along. I just didn't know it up until a couple of years ago when they really, really made it apparent.
Tanya, do you think that as a child there was a lot of information trying to come through, but either you weren't ready for it, you didn't understand it, or it may have even scared you, that sent you kind of on that whirlwind of drinking and drugging and all that stuff?
Absolutely. Another thing I learned through my channeling session is at 3 years old, you know, I wasn't articulate enough to understand, but at that point, I was trying to wake up, and I knew that there was something very backwards about this place that I was in. And I had learned that actually that a dark energy had attached itself to my sacral chakra from the time I was 3 and the till I was 36 when I got it removed. And, well, everybody knows that you don't want attachments of any sort on you, but I had learned in this particular case that it was, in the bigger picture, it was needed to shut me down, because if I had opened up any earlier than I did, the energies on the earth wouldn't be able to support me, and it could have killed me. I'm lucky that, you know, this little shift that I went through didn't fry me, because it was such a difference in vibration that, I mean, it was just like, I'm lucky that I did go to Sedona, because I was also told that whatever happened to me, it was pre-planned, and I've been told by a few different intuitives that there was an actual alarm clock set off for that day, that no matter what was going on in my life and what paths I took up to that point, it was going off. So if I'd never gone to Sedona and be able to pinpoint, you know, that somewhere to kind of trace back to what was going on and how to get figure out, I could be in a mental institution right now and them thinking that, you know, that I'm crazy. And that's a scary thought. And then I started to think, you know what? There's probably a lot of people that are being drugged for mental illnesses or in mental institutions, and they're not mental. They're gifted, and they just don't have anyone that is aware to teach them that and how to, you know, ground those energies. And so I think that maybe is another part of maybe my path, is to be a bridge or a link between, you know, to mental health, because, you know, I could have ended up there myself. And if it wasn't for, you know, people like, you know, yourself and BBS Radio, where I've been able to learn that, wow, I'm not alone, and there are a lot of people out there like this, and yay, I'm not crazy.
See, I think a lot of the children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children type titles all have a great deal of intuitive ability. And I think that the parents don't really know how to handle it, and I know the schools don't, you know, and so they think drugging them is the answer, which I'm totally against,
me,
you know, unless it's the last resort. But I think there's a lot of children out there now that are very much indigos, crystals, rainbows, and even beyond that are still
absolutely
yet to come. You know, and I think the more information that is out there for parents to take a look at, more people who open up and talk about it, more people who are not afraid to say what I've gone through,
yeah.
you know, the better it's going to be for the children that are here now and the future children yet to come in, because they, after all, are going to be the ones that put this world back together that we've screwed up so badly.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I feel like, I mean, there's so many things out there. I'm not quite sure what my, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there, and we all have our own little missions, our own little paths, and we're all part of the whole, and it's like, well, where do I fit in? And I sometimes wonder, is it, you know, I'm really drawn to the lost souls, and I'm really drawn to children, because it's children that, you know, it is them that's going to get us through this, and it's, we need to be able to support them and their energies, and they're not ADD, and I mean, I could have been, I guess, called that too, that those drugs weren't as, I guess, prevalent and when I was going to school as they are now. But, I mean, I was a bit of a problem. Well, I shouldn't say a bit. I was. Especially as a teenager. But I remember even at 5 years old, like, I couldn't be conformed then. And I asked questions, and like, well, why do you want me to do this? But I don't want to do this. Why are mm-hmm. you making me eat food that repulses me? And, you know, I was always questioning authority, and I still do today, very much so. And
which I think is actually a good thing. You know, we have about 1 minute left, so please give out your website and the name of your book and where they can get it.
Okay, again, my website is www.mysticalpuzzle, which is all one word, .com, and the name of my book is Mystical Puzzle, and it is available by ordering it through PayPal on my website.
On your website, do you have a blog?
I don't. I haven't started anything like that yet. It is definitely something that I think I will be in the future. I do, if people, you know, want to converse with me. I've actually already had people that have read my book, and they're just like, wow, like, you know, a lot of what you said makes so much sense. I've been struggling all my life with this, and, you know, is there somehow you can guide me or help me to where I need to, you know, and I'll kind of, you know, guide them on their way. So by all means, I try to answer all my mail within 48 hours, and eventually I think I will be starting a blog.
Great, that'd be good. Tanya, thank you for being on the show. I'm sorry it was a little mix-up, but we did it, and it still turned out really good.
So everything happens for a reason, right?
It does. But thank you for being on the show. It was, you know, really, you know, very much enlightening for people, because people need to hear this, like I said, over and over again, to know that they're not weird, strange, or crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And if this is weird, strange, or crazy, I'm liking it.
Right. Let me stay there.
So much
That would be true. But
yeah.
Thank you again for taking the time. And let's, you know, people know that your book is there now, and that they can at least get a chance to go onto your website and see what's there. So
yeah.
Good luck with all of that. And
thank
again,
you
thanks.
Thank you much. And thank you.
You're very welcome.
It's a pleasure.
And mine too. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk later. Take care. Bye now.